This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And here to kick off Super Bowl week, I'm excited.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Troy Aikman. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Jaguars Chief Strategy Officer Tony Khan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Why don't you tell me the name of the movie you want to see? Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Everybody, 844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone lines are lit. We appreciate that. I imagine being on ESPN helps that cause. We always love being put wherever our friends at Disney and ESPN want us. Disney Plus and the ESPN app is every day, 12 to 3 Eastern Time. Today on ESPN, Hour 3 is going to be on ESPN2. Same thing for the rest of the week for us on ESPN2. Our third hour of our shows from San Francisco will be on ESPN2. And we've got a heck of a guest list that we're going to let you know about at the end of this hour before we get out of Dodge on ESPN, heading to ESPN2, and then we head up to San Francisco. And we're also, obviously, on ESPN Radio every day, Sirius XM Channel 80. Our podcast is how you can also listen to us every day, get the 3 hours and listen to whenever you want. And that's your God-given right as a podcast listener, wherever you get your podcasts. Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday is about to come up. Overreaction Monday is a podcast that we also do around these parts. And our Super Bowl preview version of that has been up for about 24 hours. You can see that as well on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. I believe all housekeeping's been taken care of. Tom Pelissero is coming up in 18 minutes to tell us what he knows, and he better tell us everything that he knows.
We can shout out.
Sound threatening.
We can shout out No Contest since we're just throwing.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. No Contest Wrestling Podcast Wednesday. O'Shea and I will be interviewing.
Say it. Say
the
it.
Best in the world.
Hey.
The WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Woo!
For the second time, CM Punk.
Yeah, and that'll be from our set in San Francisco.
Yeah, where nice. he will be in the main event of WrestleMania this year.
Oh.
It's Roman Reigns, so it's going to be huge to get to chop it up with him.
Outstanding.
Wow. What a match.
Outstanding.
Yeah, man.
And I believe he also got Money in the Bank by our Thursday guest, the Liar Liar Pants on Fire host.
This is also
Seth Rollins.
He was champ for like 5 minutes.
He
and
was.
Seth said, give
not,
me that.
Not even 5 minutes.
I got to be honest with you guys. I watched WWE Unreal on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that.
I was a little upset that we weren't a part of that.
We weren't?
I was waiting for us. Any, like, this was a big part of that whole ruse, man. Guys. And they didn't even mention it.
What a bummer.
We'll have to get on that.
We need to.
You know what? Get me Triple H on the phone.
Yeah. Hold up. I know O'Shea's got
it. As O'Shea would call him, give me Paul.
Hey, Shea, call Paul.
Call
All
Paul.
Right. Let's go to the phone lines. Maureen in Denver, you're on the Rich Eisen Show kicking off hour two. What's up, Maureen?
Hi, Rich. I know there's been a lot said about Belichick not making the first draft, but I'm really concerned that Robert Kraft has been passed over for over a dozen years. He's now 10 years older than Pat Bowlen was when Pat Bowlen was posthumously inducted after he'd been passed over and over. And being from Denver, but originally New England, I just see this as such a travesty of people who've contributed so much to the game and aren't being recognized for whatever reasons.
Maureen, you and me both. I am obviously partial to Bob Kraft, because if it wasn't for him, NFL Network, and you mentioned Pat Bowlen is another owner who were very instrumental in NFL Network's creation. So obviously I'm biased when it comes to him, and everything that he has done for the NFL is, I feel silly even mentioning his resume as to why he's Hall of Fame worthy in the same way for Belichick. So plus one is what I'm telling you, Maureen.
Well, thanks for your support. Yeah, I just wish that the Hall of Fame would stop with their petty biases and, you know, recognize people who contributed so much to professional football history.
Maureen, thanks for the call. Maureen in Denver. Listen, there may be, as you point out, petty jealousies and things of that nature, or whatever Robert Kraft's role in the Gates were, anything else in his world and his life that could be counted as a minus. You know how you sometimes write down positives and negatives before you make a decision, right?
Pros and cons.
Pros and cons.
Pros and
thank you for
you're
that.
Welcome. Jeez. I got you.
Appreciate it. On the pros side, this is the 12th Super Bowl the New England Patriots have made. 11 of them. 11 of them have been under Bob Kraft's watch. That is an absurd number. And the first one came when he got Parcells and the rest of his staff all together. They draft Drew Bledsoe. They draft McGinnis. They start drafting Hall of Famers all over the place. And they make the Super Bowl like that. They lose, I understand. And then Parcells complains about Kraft not letting him shop for the groceries and things of that nature. And then he starts again with Pete Carroll and then starts again after that with Bill Belichick. And they draft Tom Brady, yada, 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 right? But now they've done it again. That makes three different Super Bowl appearances of the 11 with different coach and quarterback. Think about it. Bledsoe, Parcells is one. Brady, Belichick is two. May and Vrabel is three. Honestly, how many franchises have been to three Super Bowls at all? Enough. I understand, Cowboy fan, right? But many of them are like this guy sitting here. Yeah. All right. And the Patriots of the 11 have made it three times with a different coach, quarterback, and grocery shopper combination. Cracking the code like that is absurd. Then here's his role in ending the lockout, thank God, because I couldn't lose any more hair than I did in 2011. Jeff Saturday will tell you that story. There's that. There's the creation of NFL Network. There's also what he's done outside philanthropically. Just look up what that blue square means, fighting for people like me and my children against Jewish hate. Honestly, it's just absurd. So if it is petty jealousy, get over it. And if it is this new, from what I do suspect, enough people were sitting there saying, I guess what the fellow from Kansas City is like, these three members of the senior committee may never get another shot, so I'm going to vote them in. That's why I didn't vote Belichick or Kraft, because they're going to get in. Kraft's 84. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? So that's my opinion on that. Although I just got to push back. I know Troy Aikman mentioned in hour one about there being potentially a cloud over the Hall of Fame class and in 2026. And I know that's the way we're feeling about it now. And I think it's a legit point by Troy. But by the time this hits in August, I hope that cloud will dissipate and the people who get in will have their say without this being the conversation of who should be there. It happens a lot, too. This won't be the first class. Everyone's like, "That this guy should be there. This person should be there." So, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. It's a Tuesday, so it's time for a Super Bowl 60 version of Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it, please.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, what do you have over there, sir?
Often imitated, never duplicated. We are back, Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. What's up, guys? You guys good?
Oh, great.
Great to see you. Great to see you guys. Can't wait for this.
What do you mean by often imitated?
I don't know. It's just a phrase people use.
Okay, got it.
Also because other people
what
try to do.
Oh, they're doing it?
couple of them. Mm. Yeah.
Guys, breaking news. It's the Seahawks and the Patriots in the Super Bowl this week. Bet you didn't know that. If Drake May wins the Super Bowl on Sunday, the real architect of the Patriots dynasty was Josh McDaniels.
Hey. By the way, I just mentioned in moments ago.
Prove me here, wrong, Rich.
I just mentioned here moments ago that this is the 11th Super Bowl for Robert Kraft's stewardship of the Patriots. 11 of the 12 have been since he's owned the team. This is the 10th Super Bowl Josh McDaniels is coaching in. 10. 10.
Well, he's not going to get it on the first ballot, so he's eventually going to get it. Okay.
Okay. Do you really mean this, or you're just trying to get a goat here? So are you trying to get aggregated?
Here's what I'm saying.
It's already up.
Here's what I'm saying.
It's already. What are you
Belichick
saying?
Belichick defensive mind. When he hired his buddy to run the offense, we saw how that went.
Belichick could coach any side of the football and be the best at it. You know it too.
Vrabel, I get that all Vrabel does is catch touchdowns, but a defensive guy,
okay.
Defensive mindset. The OC for the second run,
okay.
McDaniels.
Got it.
Now, new quarterback, different quarterback.
I got it. And by the way.
Now, second year back.
An integral part, a crucial part, a secret sauce, an overlooked part, all accurate. The architect?
Architect.
Architect.
Of the dynasty.
Okay.
Like he's Seth Rollins.
Overreaction.
Really?
Onward.
Wow.
Interesting.
You don't even believe it either.
I think he does.
Guys, if Sam Darnold wins Super Bowl MVP this week on Sunday, let's go to the other side, Seattle.
That means
Darnold.
That means Mike Maccagnan, Jets GM, was the true architect of the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl win. The guy who chose Sam Darnold for the Jets. No?
No.
Okay.
If Sam Darnold wins this award, guys, he's on a better Hall of Fame trajectory than anyone in the 2018 QB draft class.
Untrue.
Only one with a ring, Richard.
I get it. Come on, man.
Ring culture.
Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
Can't even get to the Super Bowl.
We already did this bit. I shouldn't say bit. Segment in the summer. If this player never, like, who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
That's what we called it, okay? Yeah. That if they did not play another down, would they be in the Hall of Fame? Don't you think Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are either there or approaching it?
If they never played again?
If they never played again.
No chance, do they? No. What?
Okay.
I clearly don't know what a Hall of Famer is anymore, so.
Good one.
Well, if he wins the game on Sunday, he looks like Sam Darnold.
So Sam Darnold could win another one. I guess you'd have to you'd have to give it up. Like, if it's about Super Bowl.
He would jump them. Let's be honest.
More than Josh Allen? Josh Allen, who's discussed as the best player in the NFL, by even you, have said that on an Overreaction Monday pod multiple times this year alone.
Josh Allen's about to be a father. He's got no time for football.
Okay. Seriously, though.
Nah, give me Sam. Rings count.
Rings count more than anything else that's been done.
Yeah.
So Joe Flacco.
What world do we live in?
His first 7 years versus Josh Allen's 7 years aren't even remotely in the same universe. So one ring leapfrogs him over Josh Allen.
All of Sam Darnold's rings in a box, and you put all of Lamar and Josh's rings in a box.
Sam doesn't
open them up? Who's got more?
What if Sam doesn't win anymore? Another one.
Now he's Russell Wilson.
Oh, boy.
Well, that's a
pretty good path. No? We like Russell Wilson's career, yeah?
Well, his first 7 years and Russell Wilson's first 7 years aren't even in the same universe. Come on now. Come on now.
Sam Darnold.
Overreaction. Onward. What else?
Dofer for the Hall of Fame then, right?
Onward.
Did he play quarterback?
I've turned the page, and he's already changed the music.
All right. The Giants have a new offensive coordinator. It's Matt Nagy.
Yeah, that's
calling
right.
Plays.
That's right.
Really?
For Jackson Dart and all the Malik Nabers is back. Scatabuya. Behind it, they're going to have a Giants top 10 defense and offense in 2026. The Giants are going to win the NFC East.
You want to handle this one, Cowboy fan?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago we asked the same question, and I was like, the Giants won't make the playoffs. But, you know, I personally have no problem rewinding and saying that I'm wrong about something. The more I think about it, They could.
Okay.
They definitely could.
There's a difference between could make the playoffs and what's at the topic bar at the bottom of the screen here on three different platforms of viewership. Okay?
All right. See, I'm gonna
NFC East champions winning the division, leapfrogging your Cowboys.
Yeah.
And
the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Eagles are in disarray.
And the Washington football
disarray,
team.
He says.
We don't know what the quarterback's going to look like in Washington next year, and they're going to have a different offensive coordinator, right? And Dallas may not have George Pickens next year.
Oh, they will. Don't worry about that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's
haven't even been.
Do we ask CeeDee Lamb when he shows up on our set Thursday?
You know I will.
New contract. Yeah. I'm just saying, Washington, sleeping giant.
I don't think this is
overreaction. I think they might make the playoffs, but winning the division, I'm not going to sit here and say you're.
It's got a boost season next year, Rich. He'll be back.
I hear you. I look forward to seeing what it all looks like. That's for damn sure. And I'm excited for Giants fans because it appears to be.
I'll never say that.
In the right direction.
I'll never say I'm excited.
Look at that shot. I can't believe they got so lucky. Look at that. John Harbaugh smiling.
It's like picture day.
It is like picture day. That's the great. I didn't know the Giants turned their place into Sears.
You think they still give out those little combs? Remember those?
Maybe.
You get a comb right before.
We'll ask John. Never use that comb.
We'll get John and we'll ask him how he prepped for this one.
I needed a pick.
But look how smile. He's smiling. $20 million a year. Head coach of the New York Giants.
Yeah, he's smiling.
Jackson Dart and everyone else. I'm going to be an NFC East champ. We'll ask him. What do you think? What else you got over there,
Chris? After the Belichick and Kraft first ballot snubs.
Yeah.
Time.
By the way, Kraft was not a first ballot snub.
He's on it. First-time finalist.
Well, I got it. Okay.
He didn't on this right. First time.
All right. So I don't mean to interrupt. What do you got?
Time for a Hall of Fame to completely revamp the election process.
Well, they need to separate.
Revamp. The Hall should just take it over. No more electors.
What do you mean? The Hall should take it over. The Hall has taken it over, and they've selected these selectors.
Well, then get rid of all these guys.
No. They're not.
They clearly don't know what they're doing.
What if somebody did vote the way you wanted, and you want them out, too, just because you're sweeping one big house clean?
Yeah.
You changed the rules.
House clean.
Pardon me. You changed the rules. You changed the voting process.
Go full Polian. If you don't like
what
it, you change
you
the rule.
What you do is you give a maximum. You keep the way that they're electing those who are in the their first, years of eligibility. You keep that. That stays like before, like the Rented Godfather Part 2, okay? That stays like before where there's a maximum of 5 out of all of the finalist candidates. That stays. You don't mess with that. Then you take your senior committee folks and you give an up and down vote. If there's 3 of them, all 3 get an up and down vote, just like everyone else in the finalist process. And the same thing goes for a contributor, and the same thing goes for a coach. And if there winds up 10 members of a Pro Football Hall of Fame class because everybody gets a yes, that everybody out of the finalists gets the requisite amount of votes, so you get 5 there, and you get everybody from the senior candidates, that's 3, and then the 2 others, and you get 10 people, then everybody just pack a late lunch. Have a late breakfast, have a brunch before the noon ceremonies begin.
Brunch.
And then you become for everybody's sake, keep your remarks, a little tight here. Tighten it up. And if we wind up staying there for 4 hours, 3.5, 4 hours, it's a long day, but everybody has their say. And we go on with our lives.
Agreed.
What's the big deal?
Let's get the Sandman from the Apollo to come sweep somebody off the stage when their time's up.
However they wish to handle it. A large cane?
That's what that or a broom. A broom.
So, yes, this is a perfect reaction. Thank you for that opportunity, Christopher.
You're welcome.
You got one more?
That's it. Well, Tommy's checked in. He's ready to go.
It's all right. More? It's all right. You got one more?
Sure.
So I want to hear my boy's voice. Oh, give me Cooper's one more. I love
one
this.
One more. I did not know this.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know it.
He didn't either. He really didn't.
Football's got one game left.
That was so great because he just said it when sitting in for you, Chris. And I'm like, no, but Chris always overacts like, I can't believe there's one more. I had no idea. And so that's when he came up with that, my boy Coop.
God bless Coop.
Yeah.
College basketball is starting to pay a little bit more attention to that now with one game left in the football season. Either the men's or women's champion this year
yes.
will have less losses than the Super Bowl winner.
Oh, I'll get that. So that's three, right?
Yeah, Seahawks and Patriots each have three losses.
Michigan can only lose one more.
Right. Arizona's undefeated right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Michigan, UConn, so that means Duke, there's all not one
be,
loss.
That means it's going to be somebody who's been on a heater all season, doesn't get upset, and cuts down the nets.
Exactly.
In both men and women.
On the women's side, UConn undefeated. UConn, UCLA has one loss.
South Carolina has zero, right? No, South Carolina has two losses.
They can't win.
That's
anymore.
Right. Yeah. I'll do it. Either one of them.
Either one.
Winner.
Somebody's going to have less.
Love this one.
The Super Bowl.
This is something we'll keep revisiting all the way through to April.
Keep tabs.
This is the echoes of Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
That's going to be tough, man.
It will be.
I'm looking, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be tough.
No,
someone's going to have to stay hot.
Someone's going to have to beat Michigan. Oh, God, I was so insufferable yesterday. even I knew how insufferable I was being, but too bad.
Too bad.
What's the name of the show? What's the name of this program? I forget what the name of the program is.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, it's on the mug. You can't miss it.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Right. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah.
Tom Pelissero is joining. Is he wearing the same suit?
Yes.
And as Zoom as he is, it looks it.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience just returned in the middle of Tom telling the story about how he broke the news of hearing about Clint Kubiak going to the Raiders while he was flying from Atlanta out to San Francisco. Highly impressive, detailed story, Tom, and especially I salute you for dropping the fact that you were in a lay flat seat while
flex.
I mean,
what a flex.
Did you guys catch that?
I mean, yes.
You could have told that story without the lay flat.
He could have just been like, I was sleeping on the plane.
Right. It's not as dramatic because how far can you recline? It's like from here to here. But if you're in the lay flat seat, I had to do the full Undertaker in the coffin all the way up to a 90-degree angle. Probably scared the people next to me with how quickly I popped up. But that's why you got always a lot of drafts in the chamber because you got to know which ones might be coming
that day. Don't skip core day.
That's it. Don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it. It's certainly if you want to break news.
Right.
Kids. Tell the kids out there. Tom Pelissero, the first class story right here on the Rich Eisen Show. are we done talking about Drake May's shoulder now or what?
No.
Are we done?
It's a situation where, you know, we'll see the first injury report of Super Bowl week will come out tomorrow.
Come on, the Patriots will have 15 questionable people. It's still the Patriots. They may have changed the coach, changed everything.
Unless they list them as full. Right. You're okay. Right. I mean, everyone was questionable last week. They've got that history going way back. But they've removed people from the injury report this season as well.
Right.
We'll see. It's something in that at minimum it caused them to reduce his reps last week. Does not sound like anything that people are concerned is going to drastically alter his ability to play on Sunday. You just don't know, though. It's, you know, Drake said it himself when he was asked about it. He's like, somebody asked him, like, are we making too much of this? He's like, well, it's a quarterback's throwing shoulder. Yeah, exactly. You just don't know until you get into the game just how much, if at all, it might limit him. There's different things you can do to manage pain in those situations. What we have to see is just exactly how functional is he. I don't get any sense, talking to Elliot last night, talking to other people, I don't get any sense that we're really concerned about Drake May. He's going to start in this game. But, you know, just in terms of, does it impact him at all? Could he have a setback? I mean, we all, I think, still have PTSD from watching Carson Wentz's right shoulder injury get gradually worse and worse and worse until, you know, he's basically being shoveled off the field by the end of that game against the Rams this season. You just don't know. Again, I don't get the sense it's something major, but it is something to monitor just because it's quarterback's throwing shoulder and he was limited going into the Super Bowl.
Okay. And Darnold's oblique. Are we done talking about that?
not done talking about because he's going to have to manage it. You know, it did not. I was actually, you know, pleasantly surprised for Sam that it was not more of an impact in the NFC Championship game, because anytime you're talking about whether it's a pitcher in baseball or a quarterback, anybody who's a thrower, those oblique injuries can progressively get worse. And you never know if the wrong movement is going to cause it to get worse. I never saw him hampered. I never saw him, you know, wincing at all through the course of that game. Again, they've been limiting his reps. They're being very cautious because the last thing they want is, you know, an extra rep in a Friday practice, which is where he got hurt initially, was in the last practice of the week before, you know, the conference championship game. And all of a sudden, or maybe it was the divisional game, but all of a sudden he pops up on the injury report and you're like, uh-oh, you know, that's not a good thing here. But don't get any sense that we're concerned about that one either. Both quarterbacks should be healthy, just a matter of, you know, making sure they don't suffer setbacks in the game.
Okay, so what are you looking like? What are you looking in your notebook about for Super Bowl 60 you'd like to throw out there for everybody?
Well, one notable injury is Harold Landry for the Patriots. I mean, that's a pretty significant player. Their leading sack guy was not able to play in the AFC Championship game. They gave him a podium at Super Bowl media night. There was one guy who was camped out with a camera in front of him for about 4 hours by himself, so he was very interested in Harold Landry. But I would say anytime you're talking about the best pass rusher on a team who didn't play in the last game, you know, let's see. They listed him as questionable last week. Let's see if he's able to ramp it up and give it a go, because that's a pretty big piece of this. Same thing with Charles Cross, the Seahawks. No reason to think that he's not going to play, but again, limited through the course of the practice week. How effective is he going to be? Now, if we zoom out, just, you know, in terms of some of the macro storylines here, you got two head coaches who have not been in this game. You got two quarterbacks who have not been in this game. You got a lot of people on both sides who have not been, you know, at this point. Every team's, you know, Super Bowl week is a little bit different. I know the Patriots were out at Stanford yesterday. The weather was nice enough that Elliott told us he got sunburned at practice, which is a little different than 15 years ago when he was in Dallas with the Packers and there was an ice storm and no one could get around all week. But they were out there. They did a normal 90-minute practice. They're going through this like a normal week. You know, the Seahawks will get rolling really in earnest on the field tomorrow. You know, and we'll see who handles these elements better. The weather is great here in Santa Clara, or I'm up in San Francisco now, but it looks like it'll be in the 70s on game day. So that part should not be, you know, any type of a significant factor. But who better handles the entire week and just kind of the uniqueness of the extended pregame, the extended halftime, all those things? You know, Vrabel was in it, obviously, as a player. He does have that experience. Mike McDonald has plenty of different resources he can go to, but tons of players on both sides and coaches who have not been in the Super Bowl before. To me, that's always one of the biggest storylines, is just who handles the uniqueness of this week better.
Okay, and do you have a story on either side or one player in the Super Bowl? Because you were talking to John Schneider and Elliott Wolf, who almost wasn't acquired by a team by a Super Bowl team in this Super Bowl 60, that sliding door did in fact open up, and that player is here, and it's a big difference. Do you got a story on that front?
I mean, there's a bunch of them on both these teams. I mean, start out, and John Schneider took us through last night how they acquired Sam Darnold. I know we've talked about it before, but, you know, they started at the combine. You know, Geno Smith wanted a raise. They offered him a raise. If Geno had taken it, Geno Smith is still the quarterback of the Seahawks. Geno wasn't happy with what the offer was. All of a sudden, the Raiders pop up with an offer for Geno. They get a third-round pick for him and get Sam Darnold for less money, 10 years younger, plus a third-round draft pick for a guy who led him to the Super Bowl. But it was that close. If Geno had been willing to play on his deal, or if he had accepted the contract offer, he's still the quarterback of the Seahawks right now. Rashid Shaheed, that was a protracted negotiation between the Saints and the Seahawks. There was at least one other team that was involved on Shaheed. It ended up being a pretty significant price, but nobody right now is, you know, caring about whether it was a fifth-round pick or a fourth-round pick for Shaheed. The impact that he has made has been substantial for that Seahawks team. I mean, he's arguably the most, you know, the most important player that they've had in terms of just the impact that he's made really throughout the second half of the season and into the playoffs. On the Patriots side, I mean, there's a couple of them. Milton Williams, who there was actually a report that Milton Williams was going to the Panthers. What it sounds like happened, if my memory has served me correctly, was Milton Williams, the Panthers think they've got a deal with him. He's one of the highest profile free agents. Of course, made a huge impact in the Super Bowl last year, where he was like a backup type of player. He played a bunch, but he was not like one of their frontline guys for the Eagles. Has a huge playoff run, a huge Super Bowl, has a huge offer from the Panthers. they think that deal's getting done. And like a minute later, the report comes out and all of a sudden the Patriots swoop in with, we'll do better. We'll pay, I think he got $27 million a year. And they got him away from Carolina. Milton Williams was nearly not a Patriot. You know, it all comes back to Drake May. And we talked with Elliot about that last night. You know, he said they were never truly close to trading that pick, but they did take it all the way up to, I think I reported about 3 p.m. on draft day, they're staying, because we all knew 1-2 was going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. It was going to be a matter of, could the Giants or the Vikings, who both made offers, get up into number 3? I know the Vikings, like the last year, the night before, the day of, they sent one more offer over and it involved pick swaps and other things. They took a good run at it. But the Patriots decided ultimately they thought they knew what Drake May could be. They decided to stand in. There's some parallel universe out there where they decide, man, we can't pass up multiple picks for this. We'll trade back and we'll take Penix or J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix, and Drake May goes to the Vikings. That's not the universe we live in. Drake May is a finalist for the MVP and starting the Super Bowl in year 2.
I knew asking that question would yield results. Then you stuck the landing there, Tom. But cycling through all of that is the fact that the Vikings just fired their general manager and Sam Darnold's in the Super Bowl. And I understand you've said before that these things are not, you can't draw a bright line to connect both dots, that there's lots of other dots and things of that nature. But what exactly did the Vikings offer Sam Darnold? What did happen on that piece? Because you just mentioned the piece in Seattle that had Geno Smith accepted the raise that was being given him, that he'd have stayed and the Seahawks would have gone into battle with him. But what about the other end? What about the other end of it, Tom?
My understanding is the Vikings offer was structured similarly to the Seahawks offer. It was a multi-year deal, but it was really a one-year commitment. If you look at Sam Darnold's deal with Seattle on paper, it's a three-year, $100 million deal, but really they could get out after year one. And that's because the Seahawks, their contract structure, they don't do guarantees into future years in virtually every case. But it was for less money. The money was there, but more important than, you know, the money, whatever that difference was, $10 million or whatever it was, more important was Sam Darnold could go there and be the guy. He was not going to have J.J. McCarthy still looming and, you know, being right there. And if, you know, things went wrong for Sam Darnold, then all of a sudden it's handing off to J.J. McCarthy. I think that one of the things that gets lost here, Rich, is, and this is, I'm not knocking Sam Darnold, but go back. I think people have forgotten what the last two games of Sam Darnold with the Vikings looked like. Week 17, I believe it was, when they were hoisting him on their shoulders in the locker room and pouring water on him, and Kevin O'Connell was standing back like a proud dad. You know, a week later, week 18, they have the number one seed on the line in Detroit, and that was the worst game Sam Darnold has played over the last several years. He missed Justin Jefferson multiple times, wide open in the end zone. There were just red zone failures early. He flat out was off. He played poorly in that game, which then meant instead of having the bye in the number one seed, the Vikings had to go in the end to Arizona to face the Rams, because I believe there were the wildfires at the time that relocated that game, and the entire offense didn't play well. So as you got to the end of it, it wasn't this no-brainer, like, we have to keep Sam Darnold. He's an all-pro, and he's going to go to the Super Bowl next year. It was Sam Darnold, as well as he had played really well for 17 weeks. Those last two games made you go, is this the Sam Darnold that at other stops in his career, when the pressure is ratcheted up, he's come a little bit unglued? That's not happened in this postseason. Obviously, there were some things that went his way. The second game against the Rams, where there were some bounces and weird things that happened in that game. Zach Charbonnet picking up a rolling ball. I mean, that kind of got the monkey off his back, in the proverbial way. And it seems like Sam relaxed a little bit, and he's played well after that. But at that time, at the end of last season, it wasn't like a slam dunk. I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Could you go back in time and franchise tag him? Could, but the tag was $40 million. He didn't even get, he got 33 per year on an extension. Usually you're not going to tag somebody at a number $7 million higher than what they're getting on a long-term deal, because that gives the player all the leverage. And then the baseline that they would accept would be $40 million plus another $48 next year, which is the second tag, 120%. It's 88 over two. He wasn't getting anything close to that. And so logically speaking, if we take the emotion out of it, logically speaking, it made sense for the Vikings to say, we're only going to go up to here because we're not going to make the type of multi-year commitment that's going to keep us from giving J.J. McCarthy his opportunity. I've seen other complete nonsense out there, quite frankly, Rich, this week, that they were getting ready to trade J.J. McCarthy and Kwesi pulled the plug, that there was, you know, a toxic environment between Kwesi and Kevin. None of that is true. And I can tell you that, objectively speaking, as somebody who is pretty wired into the NFL and specifically wired into the workings of the Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah are friends. They never had a personal issue. There were things they did not see eye to eye on. They had disagreements. Certainly, the way that things played out at the quarterback position was not ideal for anyone. And everyone would love to go back in time and have the foresight to go, Sam Darnold's going to play like a top 10 quarterback and go to the Super Bowl this year. Of course, you keep that guy. But really, when it came down to the firing of Kwesi, it was a lot of different things in totality. They don't have a quarterback answer. They have a salary cap issue that they have to clean up. The drafts on the whole, there were certainly hits in there. Jordan Addison was a big one. The kicker, Will Reichard, was one. There are, you know, there have been good picks. There have been some that didn't work out. They had to figure out what the path was forward. The Wilfs always hold these meetings a couple weeks after the season to kind of have everyone take a breath and go out there. It seems like the Wilfs asked some pointed questions. They heard very honest answers from multiple people. They decided there was not a path forward for this particular group. And so Rob Brzezinski, who's a highly respected executive, is going to run this thing through the draft. Kevin O'Connell is certainly going to be leaned upon and his staff more in the free agency process and in the draft process than they probably were in the past. They'll run a GM search after that, and we'll see where that leads. But it was not strictly, you know, outcome-based Sam Darnold's in the Super Bowl. Let's fire the GM who got rid of him. There were a lot of different factors. And let's also not forget, Rich, plan B in this thing was bring back Daniel Jones. They had essentially the same offer on the table to Daniel Jones. Jones decided to go to Indianapolis. They pulled the offer when they realized Jones was just using them as leverage to go to the Colts. He went there for the, you know, some of the same reasons, which is there was a clearer path. You're not as threatened by Anthony Richardson as you are by a guy in J.J. McCarthy, who they had just drafted number 9 overall, and you knew one way or another was eventually going to get his shot.
Tommy P, you're the man. Thanks, Tom. Greatly appreciate it for various reasons. Your information is outstanding, too. I'm staying in the same hotel as you, and I'm checking out your room, and it better not be bigger than mine.
Just, king bed. I know that's a big deal for you, Rich. Okay. King bed.
You know
so
what I mean?
So we're all set.
But just to show you there's nothing personal here, just leaving you in a better spot, I can confirm, in case you've heard the rumor, that I am checking a bag. So you can break that.
Yeah,
no, excuse me. You can break that news. Okay, Tom, go for it.
You got a lay flat seat from L.A. to SFO?
I doubt it. It's probably going to be one of these things. That's it. It's probably going to be one of these things. But I'll let you know when I see you.
I'll let you know.
Thanks, Rich. You thanks, bet. Fellas.
Hey, see you, Tom.
Tom Pelissero, the one and only. Great stuff right there. All right, let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Phone calls when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Hyundai Hope on Wheels has been going on for 27 years. Every Hyundai sold, didn't you know? Maybe you didn't. Every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they have raised more than $277 million supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. How great is that? Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more, please. At Hyundai Hope is an optional. It comes standard. Next guest we have, we've got Tony Khan, who's going to be joining us in the middle of next hour. And we also have Mark Schlereth to tell us his thoughts about Super Bowl 60. Let's go to Sean in Cleveland, Ohio, everybody, where I believe the new head coach of the Cleveland Browns was just introduced within the hour. What's going on?
Rich, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, just wanted to first off say thanks for having me. Also, just wanted to mention that I am a 2-time Balls Deep Fantasy Football Champion.
Congrats.
And I did want to see what was your guys' opinion on this James Harden coming to Cleveland situation. Can it work? Is it going to happen?
Of course it can work. I turned to the Clipper fan in the house for that answer. I mean, We're just tapping out now, huh?
I mean, this tapping just out popped up it? In the middle, almost seemingly in the middle of the night.
We're
last
just
night.
Tapping out.
You're seeing Shams come up like Clippers are.
I saw that. I'm like, the Clippers have actually performed well in the last 4 to 6 weeks. Like, so, they've put themselves on the periphery. That's not where you want to be. You want to be in the mix. But
yeah, December was horrible.
But they've rebounded nicely. And then it's over with Harden?
They're
Are you fine with that?
Well, as I told Chris Brockman and Jason Feller today.
Get ready, Rich. Breaking news.
This is Super Bowl week, so I don't want to get into it this
week. Come on, man. They're three under 500.
But if this happens and they start to dismantle this team, we're going to have the very first document signed of...
Really?
He's going to do it.
You're not signing the document.
He's doing it.
Not this week, because like I said, let's get the Super Bowl out the way. We got a lot of time. But if they start dismantling now, it's like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
it's over. So
I'm a document.
Are you going to have no team, or are you going to jump on?
I'm going to become, well, I still have the Sixers.
Right, obviously.
The good doctor.
You should probably get rid of them, too. But maybe the Spurs.
This is your release of fandom from the Dallas Cowboys. That's been unsigned.
Yeah, that's never good.
I got a whiteout. We could fix it.
You might as well go ahead and burn that.
No, I think there's a Clippers one around here somewhere. You know,
there's no Clippers.
We've been talking about it.
This is my my golfing scorecard with Stuart Scott and Linda Cohn back in the day for Wampanoag Country Club in West Hartford.
Hey, you should have that frame somewhere.
I don't have it here. Did we ever create
it? We never made a Clipper one.
I didn't make that one.
No, we never made a Clipper
one. Get on that.
On it.
So I'm just saying, man.
All right.
There is a trade that did go down about 10 minutes
what ago. What do we have?
Shams reporting. The Grizzlies.
I'm sorry. Did we leave Sean on the phone? Did we just ignore Sean?
Yeah.
Still there.
If Sean's you're the Cavs, do you do this if you're the Cavs?
Guess it depends on what.
I mean.
Who they want.
Well, it might be a one-for-one situation with Darius Garland.
I know
Garland,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe a draft.
And get Harden in there and.
But how is James Harden and Donovan Mitchell gonna mesh?
Yeah, I don't see how this.
I don't see that working. Do you?
Well, they're gonna petition the NBA to use two basketballs.
Oh well, if that's the case, they're winning.
That's the only answer.
And an 8-point line.
I'm sorry, could you chop this up because I'm still looking for the paperwork.
The paperwork doesn't exist, Rich, because we never made one.
The breaking news is the Grizzlies, not Ja Morant, getting moved. Jaren Jackson Jr. getting moved along with a few others to Utah.
Oh,
for. Four players, and three future first-round picks.
Utah.
Danny Ainge making moves.
Yeah, I know. For what?
For Walter Clayton Jr., Tyler Hendricks, George Niang, and three number ones.
So they're just remaking everything and hoping it finally turns the page?
Yeah, in Utah, yeah. Also seems like this is just the first in a move. Like, Jaw's probably next, right?
So yeah, so they're breaking it up.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are getting broken.
Dude, I was stunned when I saw that alert last night too.
17 of the last 21.
I know, and so now we're just going to get rid of Harden. What's going on?
Well, he's been at home the last couple of days, you know, due to some personal reasons.
Stop it. That means they don't want him to get hurt.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you got me looking over here too.
No, trust me, it doesn't exist because it's never gotten brought up before. Yeah. It's always football.
Also, a rumor Atlanta might be in on James Harden, which you know. That's keeping a lot of people, you know, through college down there.
Oh, good Lord.
That's true. Because, like I said, when Susie was here, sometimes you
here's some paperwork.
Here we reinvest
go.
Into the community.
This is Del Tufo's bandwagon.
Oh God.
Fan transfer. From various other. Oh wait,
you got one in there.
I don't know if Billy in Cleveland's a big fan of Mobley. He might finally sign this release of fan of all Cleveland sports.
Cleveland.
I found all this stuff. What else do I got here?
Some Jets releases over here.
I've got an autograph. I have an autograph of Mo Green. Yeah, I got that going on.
Before he got popped? That was good timing.
But he signed it, Mo Green?
Alex Rocco. No, it's the actor Alex Rocco.
I know, but he...
You never know. I don't know what... I need to clean out my stuff. By the way, great way for us to finish up on ESPN today, huh? They're like, wait a minute. What the hell is Rich doing?
We're having fun.
Where's Pat?
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.